Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom, and this is Truth in God's Word Radio. It's January 11th, 2016. It's 8 a.m. on the East Coast of the United States. Hope this finds everybody well in the Lord today. I want to continue on today, still talking about Abraham in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the faith. Abraham's willingness to be completely obedient to the Lord and trust him for the outcome. The Word of God said that Samuel said to Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And I hope what we're learning here in Hebrews 11, the great Hall of Faith chapter, is complete reliance on God, complete trust in his word, in his prophecies, in that which he has established, trust in the finished work that Jesus Christ done on the cross 2,000 years ago, which has redeemed us and kept us and will deliver us in the days to come. Paul said that we go from glory to glory to glory. Although the outer man dies, and the outer man is fading away, the Bible declares that our life is like a fading blade of grass, that we are like waves tossed in the ocean. The Word of God declares that man's days are short and full of trouble. The song says, "In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor." And this anchor holds and it grips that solid rock. And that solid rock today that we are preaching and teaching about is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. So we know that nevertheless we're not going to be ashamed. In other words, what we believe in will not only keep us, but it will come to pass. Word of God declares that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word by no means will ever pass away. The Word of God declares that God has written his name in Jerusalem, his word. He sent his word and he healed them. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, cuts asunder, divides, and discerns every spirit. When we pick up this Bible, we read this Bible, and this Bible begins to read us. It is our roadmap. It is the infallible, unchangeable Word of God. Throw every other opinion away, throw every other book away that does not line up with the Word of God, because they will pass, they will perish, but his Word will never, ever perish. So Abraham, willing to do that which God told him to do. And a hard task was asked of him. As we all know, as we read in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, but by faith, Hebrews 11, 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, when Abraham was tried. So, if Abraham was tried, then me and you are going to be tried. The Bible says, "Think it not strange of the fiery trials and the fiery darts of the enemy that will come against us. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We will be tried. Job said, "He tries me every morning." He allows us to be tried, and it's for our own good that we might be drawn to him for help. Because by nature we are rebellious and independent, and we're know-it-alls. God has to bring us to the end of ourselves sometime in our lives when we become completely dependent on him. The song says, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. So by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Does that sound familiar? His only begotten son. John 3:16. For God so loved this world, he gave his only begotten son, the preeminent one, the firstborn of many, the quickening spirit, the word of God declares. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and to make a way for us, to eradicate sin from our life, to become that mediator between God and between man. One mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. See, we cannot enter into the presence of God in our righteousness because the word of God declares it's filthy rags. So by faith, now I'm going to read the whole thing here on Genesis 22, but you know that God declared to Abraham to take his son Isaac to the mountain and to sacrifice him. And he was obedient. He took the boy. He took the wood. Took some servants. But at the bottom of the mountain before they went up, the word of God declares, me and the boy will be back. Now, why was he so confident that him and the boy would be back? Maybe the servant's going, I don't think so. You've got the wood, you've got the sacrifice, you've got the knife, you've got everything here. Looks like somebody's going to die. But see, Abraham believed God. Oh my. And it was counted unto him as righteousness. He believed God to a fault. He believed God to complete obedience and trust him for the outcome. And we know what happened. Isaac said to Abraham, Father, where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. And you would think, well, that's the end of the story. There would no need to go any further. No. He went further. The Bible declares he took the wood. He laid Isaac on the altar on top of the wood. He was going to be a burnt offering after Abraham had killed him, I guess. For lack of a better word, that's what was going to happen. And Abraham went to the full extent of lifting the knife up, and the spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, stopped him. Because you have trusted God, the boy is spared. And he turned around, and the word of God said there was a ram in the thicket, and Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. God, our provider. Word of God declares he shall provide for all of our needs according to his riches in glory. So he made a way where seemingly there was no way. And Isaac come off of the mountain. The ram was sacrificed, which was a type of Jesus Christ, the lamb that is provided for me and you today, who's already went to the cross, went to the grave, resurrected from the grave on the third day, and ascended to heaven, sitting by the Father's right hand. Sitting means the seat of authority. The Word of God declares that God looked to the Son and he said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Bible declares that all dominion and all power has been given unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he is in charge of everything in heaven, everything on earth, and everything below the earth. He is Lord. He is not one of many, not a hodgepodge of lords or choose one. No, he is. He stands head and shoulders above every so-called self-proclaimed Messiah in this world. Jesus said they will come in my name and say, lo, I am here, and lo, I am there. But he says, go not. Focus on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what this Bible I'm holding in my hand is all about. The Old Testament points directly to Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah prophesied a lot. He was the messianic prophet. He foretold of Jesus along with many others. Abraham saw him afar off. We've talked about that. Bible said, Jesus said to those around and about him, the Pharisees, he said, Abraham longed to see my day and longed to be here and see the, and he did see it, the Bible declared, afar. This is what faith is about. It's believing those things in law as though they were, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that will seek him with diligence. Amen. Faith in God can still move the mighty mountains. Faith in God can make a desert like a fountain. Faith in God can calm the angry sea. And faith in God can bring me and you our liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. James 2:21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now listen, works does not save us, but faith produces works. He acted out his faith. He didn't sit there and say, well, Lord, why are you doing this? What's going on here? You know, this is the promised son. There's no way I can do this. He trusted God. Totally. Totally trusted God. And I believe in the days to come, we're going to have to learn how to completely lean upon him. He will meet all of our needs. We'll repeat that again, according to his riches in glory. God has always had a Petra, a Goshen, somewhere where God's people are protected. And I'm not saying we won't suffer things, because we will. The Bible says we will suffer persecution. But our trust is in God, that he still orders our footsteps. The psalmist David said that our times are in his hands, completely committed and submitted unto God. The Bible declares, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil. And most of the time when we are resisting the devil, we are resisting unbelief. We are resisting that which comes against our faith. The Bible declares that there are things that will exalt themselves above God's word. These are strongholds. Anything that exalts itself above what God says is a lie, and we are commanded to pull it down. Bring it under subjection to the word of God. Because if we keep on believing a lie, it becomes a stronghold. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And none of us are exempt from these things. None of us, all of us have our quote-unquote Achilles heel, our weaknesses in our life. But Paul said it this way. The Bible declared that Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he sought God three times and asked him, take this from me. But the Bible declares that God spoke to him, I'm not going to take it from you, but my grace is sufficient. And it ended up, Paul, when he wrote Timothy, he said, I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. Why? Because Paul was such a great man. He was a great man in the faith. Of course he was. But it was because he knew in whom he believed. And as I read that scripture, and he committed these things to God, and he persuaded that which he committed unto God, that he is able to keep against that day. What day? When we pass from this life into death and into eternal life. against that day. It's appointed unto man once to die. And then the judgment, the Word of God declares. The judgment. We are all dying in our flesh. The Bible declares that. But the Bible declares that the inner man is growing from glory to glory to glory to glory. Christ is our glory, our hope, our trust. So, I believe we said in some of the other broadcasts, the Bible declares that we are to contend for the faith that was once given unto the saints. Did Abraham have faith? He was the father of faith. He was justified by faith. God counted his faith as righteousness. So our faith will keep us, not our affiliation with preachers or churches or denominations and all these, you need to have your church, you need to have your denomination, you need a man of God or woman of God that's going to preach to you. But these things will not save you. The Bible says to search out your own salvation with trembling and with fear. Unless you come short, the Bible says, of any good gift that God has for us. Lay aside every weight that would so easily beset you or keep you from gaining the promise. Sometimes we have to get selfish, so to speak, in the spirit. Because our families can't save us, our moms, our dads, our husbands, our wives, our kids, they can't save us. See, the bottom line is that we have to love Jesus Christ more than we love them. He has to be Lord of our life. The Bible says, if you love me, you will forsake father and mother. And that doesn't mean you leave them and you cast them aside and all. It means that God is Lord, that Jesus Christ is priority in your life, that he rules and sets on the throne of your heart. We're going to need his guidance and this faith we're talking about, the faith of Abraham, the faith of Isaac, the faith of Jacob, the faith we've been talking about in this book, the faith of Enoch, the faith of Noah, the faith. And the Bible says, will not Abraham in James 2:21, our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? He didn't balk at it. He did it. He took Isaac. And the end result was good because God already promised. Now, the Word of God declares that Abraham believed that even if he went through with it, that God would raise him from the dead. Man, that's faith. That is faith. Me and the lad will be back. So the battleground today is your faith. Jesus said, when I come back to the earth, will I find any faith therein? Hebrews 11:18 says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God already told Abraham that your seed, tell him, look at the stars, look at the sands of the sea, that nations shall come out of you. That nations, we are all children of Abraham. Out of Hebron, he was a Hebrew, the forerunner of the Jew. He trusted God. He knew that God already promised that out of Isaac, your seed shall be called. And it happened just as God said it would. But that doesn't mean that we just, God says something and then we just sit back. We're going to be challenged. Our faith will be challenged. Our faith will be tried. Hebrews 11:19, like I said before, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. If he went through with it, or God allowed him to go through with it, then Abraham said, doesn't matter, the Lord will raise him from the dead. Trusting God, regardless of the circumstances. I can't imagine, how his spirit probably dropped. He'd go, what? Because he was a human being. And I wasn't there, and I don't know what went through his mind, but I'm sure he's going, well, how can this be a promised seed if he's going to die? And then faith kicked in, see? Then he remembered the promises of God, because the promises of God, the Word of God declares, is yea and amen. If God says you're going to come from point A to point B, but and everything in between point A and point B is challenging you, you still believe God. You believe Him. When you're on your knees, when you're belly low, when it seems that everything and everybody has come against you, you still believe God. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Faith. With all you can talk about, preacher, that's what we've been talking about, and we're going to talk about it until we get through this, but faith. Faith is what we need. Faith. Hebrews 11:20 says, and by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You see what happened here? Abraham obeyed God. Isaac come down off the mountain. Isaac begot two sons, Jacob and Esau. You know what happened there? They were twins. Jacob come out second, but was had the heel of Esau. The Bible declares Jacob was a subplanter. He wasn't the most perfect individual that ever walked the face of the earth, but there was a promise that came out of Jacob when he encountered God. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. But by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob because the promise had been passed down. See, that's why it's important that we teach our children well, that we raise a child in the way that they should go, and as they get older, they will not depart from that which we teach them. By faith. And by faith today, you can be saved. And by faith today, you can be healed. And by faith today, you can be delivered. Yes, the Bible says in the book of James, call the elders of the church and anoint them with oil if there be any sick among you, and pray the prayer of faith, and God will heal them. If there be any sin in their life, it shall be forgiven of them. But that doesn't, you don't have to do that. You're not in a church right now. You can believe God that God can touch you right where you're at, because He's omnipresent, omniscient. Amen. He's not confined to a church building on the corner of Oak and Vine or whatever. He lives in our hearts, and He is certainly a Lord that can be everywhere at the same time. And the Bible even says before you even call on Him, He knows what you're calling on Him about. He knows where you're at. He knows my name. He knows your name today. He knows. God is mindful of us. Psalmist David said, why would He even be mindful of us? But He is. He's mindful of us. So your faith today can move the mountains in your life. It's good to have good Christian people around you, good Christian teaching and preaching, and people to help lift you up and help you and join together in unity of the faith. The Bible does declare that a three-stranded cord, it's impossible to be broken. We need unity in the body of Christ, but don't lean on the arm of flesh. Lean upon the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll probably say this every broadcast, say it again, He's the author or the authority and the beginning of our faith, and the finisher of our faith. Trust Him. Cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. And we are living in a world where people have cares and fears. The Scripture says that men's hearts will fail them for what they see coming on the face of the earth. And I was thinking and pondering about that the other day concerning some things that's happened around about us here. People say, well, that means people are going to drop over dead with a heart attack. Well, that could happen, yes. But people are losing heart. Their hearts are failing them. They are losing their will to live. The enemy is destroying the very fiber of their lives by destroying their faith. That when things happen and situations happen, then they are left hopeless. And a man without hope, it's not going to last long. The Bible declares that hope is an anchor for the soul. When a man or woman, boy or girl, loses that will to live, then they got a problem. The Spirit of God gives us life. Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and you have it more abundant. So trust him today. Hope in him today, and he will keep you, and he will bring to pass what he said he would. If you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, invite him into your heart. Believe that God raised him from the dead. Repent of your sins. Ask him to heal you, deliver you, to set you free. Ask him into your heart. Renounce all evil in your life. Turn, the Bible says, from your wicked ways, and you're saved. He'll heal you today. You're born again. And a man says you can't enter into the kingdom of God until you are born again. If you need healing today, by his stripes you are healed. If you need deliverance today from oppression and depression, he was chastised for our peace of mind. He gives us peace that passeth all understanding, the Word of God says. Whatever need is in your life, in the name of Jesus, let it be done. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. And we know it will not come back void, but it will do that which you spoke it to do. We ask you to touch the hearts and the minds of the people today. You see every individual. You see every circumstance. Father, we're all different. We're all going through different things. But your word says that you are touched with our infirmities. In the name of Jesus, we thank you today. Bless, touch, and heal and deliver. In Jesus' name we pray. May God bless each and every one of you until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. May God bless you and keep you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthinthword777@gmail.com. The Word of God declares, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you. And the meek shall inherit.